We all know your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like notes and billing, or simply trying to make a cup of coffee, or even run to the bathroom in between appointments, constant interruptions can derail your day. This podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist for iPad, a digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients can securely check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from interruptions and make the most of your time. I've been using them for almost 3 years now, and it saves me hours in my week. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to All Things Private Practice, joined today by my good friend, someone who would say that she's my mentor.
And be correct. I'd be correct at that.
Shailene Kite, who is the owner of DBT South Jersey, which is a group practice for DBT in South Jersey, obviously. The owner of Rebel Mente Coaching and Consulting. I'm probably just butchered that.
Doing good.
Yeah, group practice owner, international speaker, now event coordinator because she has her Disney event that she's going to talk about, because we're going to talk about special interests today and how they impact your business decisions. Also co-founder of Stabilize and Scale, along with Katie Keats May, a yoga instructor, a Linehan certified DBT trainer. I don't know. How many other things should I list? Are there any other things?
I mean, probably, but I think that's good for now. We can stop. Share. I should say.
People are already like turning this episode off.
Seriously.
So Shailene, you're now tied with Gabrielle for the number of times you've come on the podcast. This is number 4 for you. So welcome back.
Thank you. I'm excited. 4 times.
Again. First time I met you was on here, and it was when I thought you were a 50-year-old woman.
That's right. Actually, you thought I was 45.
Yeah, you had a lot of physical ailments going on that day, and I was confident in that. Anyway, okay. So I actually like this topic. You mentioned just using your special interests to kind of help guide in terms of creating alternative income streams aside from being a one-on-one therapist. So I know for you, you recently launched an idea born out of one of your special interests, which is like all things Disney, which really makes me so angry to be your friend. And
full of joy.
Yeah, that was what I was looking for. Yes. Tell us about how that comes about for you, because I do think, like, in all seriousness, a lot of you listening, and myself included, you are pushed to create the things that you feel excited about, that you feel a lot of passion around. And I know that makes it even more of a win-win when we are able to tie this into our professional career and development and identity. So yeah, tell me how the Disney event comes about.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on again and for chatting about this. Just before I logged on, I saw some therapists that I know locally posting about, like, what are some other ways that we can make money as therapists? And so, yeah, I'm always happy to share ways to do it and ways to do it in a way that hopefully feels fun and exciting and motivating. And that's kind of where the Disney conference came to be. So I am not somebody who grew up as a Disney person, but, you know, like, watched movies and stuff like that. Didn't have really the opportunity to ever go to Disney much until I was an adult. And there's just a lot of stuff that I can appreciate about it, I think, like, from a vacation standpoint, but also I think Disney really does nostalgia really well. And that's a feeling that's, like, kind of hard to find, like, what things bring up nostalgia. And so I started going, like, more often as an adult, and this year went to an in-person clinical conference in Virginia Beach. And on the way home, I was just kind of like feeling really nice and lit up from all the people and all of the connection. And we had like 6 hours to drive home. So in that time, I was like, well, I wonder if anyone would ever come to a conference in Disney World, and just kind of got things rolling from there. But I will say, when you were talking about it, trying to mix these two things, like what you're excited about and trying to find ways to make money off it, it's really cool and I'm really grateful for it. And I wouldn't say no to it, but it is like a blessing and a curse when your passions become your profession, because you kind of lose a sweetness of that when your brain is always like, all right, well, this is cool. I figured out a way to monetize this. This is a new stream of income. I don't have to do more sessions or whatever other thing that you're doing. But now my special thing is changing into work. So I just want to add that like disclaimer as we go into it.
No, I think that's a good disclaimer. I know when my wife has had creative ventures of like maybe making earrings or whatever other ideas come into her brain randomly and she pursues them, I'm always like, we should monetize this. We should create an Etsy shop. We should get it on Shopify. And she's like, no.
Yeah.
I want this to be fun. I want this to just be something I'm excited about. And I do think that when we start to intertwine them, it is a really cool feeling to say like, okay, as a therapist, I didn't really think this was a way I could make money in my career. And like it's also now work. And
yeah,
it's about trying to see the both and like have an appreciation while also acknowledging that, you know, there's also stressors that come with turning your special interest into your alternative income stream.
Yeah, there is a Billie Eilish song. I can't remember which one it is at the right now, but the lyric is, things I once enjoyed just keep me employed now. Things I'm longing for, someday I'll be bored of. And I can really relate to that. I think from an ADHD perspective, it's like, you know, needing new things to keep me excited and interested. Yeah. And so who knows? Like, I think for now, it's really fun. I think giving yourself permission to lean into what feels fun and figure that out later, if it's something that you're going to keep doing, if it's something that you're going to keep growing, because that's the other thing that comes with it. Once it happens, right? Like it started as, okay, it's going to be this conference and there's going to be 40 people. Now it's much bigger than that. It's doubled in size. And now there's an online event. And so now there's this whole other, it's not its own business yet, but it's like this whole other arm of the Rebel Mente brand that's getting built up. And again, really, really cool and awesome. And, you know, like we'll see what happens if that keeps going in that way because of those struggles, you know?
Yep. And I think that's a big part of, you know, for those of you who are ADHDers, let's just say, like, whether you're ADHD, whether you are ADHD, or whether you have ADHD traits, the interest-based nervous system is a part of the ADHD experience. So pursuing the things that are interesting and exciting that light you up, and those things may exist today and they may not exist tomorrow, or it may be a year from now. And I think that's important to give yourself grace and permission around that, to say like, for now, this feels really exciting. And I don't know what that's going to look like long-term. Like I've pretty publicly stated on this podcast and elsewhere that I'm really pivoting a lot in my career right now, and it can be a weird place to be. And one thing for me is like the retreat component of my journey. Like, never would I have thought that I would be sitting here saying like, I'm about to do number 20 and 21 over a 4-year period, and then go to New Zealand and do 22 and 23 and then have nothing else planned. Because what ended up happening is my love for travel and passion for it and these new experiences and the connections and the everything that came with it, because it grew so rapidly, it really pushed me to way beyond my comfort zone in terms of burnout and capacity. And that is a reckoning point sometimes. But for you, I think this is like the start of something really exciting, because I know how much you have a passion for this, despite your many attempts to get me to come to this event and me shooting you down.
I think you secretly want to be involved. I'm going to show everyone the text messages that we have. Listen, where you make these little comments about like, what if I dressed up as Deadpool and nobody knew who I was? And I'm like, you want to come? I can tell.
I just want to speak, like, because I'm like, there's an ego there in a way. But no, I don't want to come, even though my wife is attending for whatever fucking reason.
She is attending.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to go to Shailene's event. And I'm like, okay, cool. She's like, do you care? I'm like, no, I don't care.
It's like the biggest honor. I'm like, Patrick's not coming, but his wife, who is not a therapist, is coming to the Disney conference. That's like, this is a hell of an event. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, and you should be. And you should be proud of yourself. I got a lot of behind the scenes messages from you about like the fear and the anxiety of the pricing and how do I navigate ABC? And, you know, I think that is a really important piece of all of this in the creation process is for all of you listening, like to have a couple of people to bounce ideas off of and share these concerns with and these fears. But you also at some point in time have to really stand in your vision and like own it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I try to tell you when I get the flurry of messages.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it's like. I don't know. We met when you were, I remember being at a brewery with you when I was in town in Asheville and we met up and you were like, yeah, I'm going to have a retreat in Ireland. And I was like, that sounds fucking crazy. Like, is anybody coming? Like, you know.
Do you have anyone that's going to actually sign up?
I mean, and not in a doubting way, but like in the way of like, holy shit, that's a big deal. And nobody's doing anything like that. And I could feel that, I don't know, anxiety. Like I could feel that from you and talking about it. It's incredibly scary to, I mean, any business venture, like and I look back at all of those things that you named, every one of those at some point had some level of fear, right? Like, is this going to work out? I remember signing the lease for my group practice. When I signed it, it was for 5 years. And I was like, damn, like, I hope we make it 5 years. Like, that's huge to like, that's your first step going into a 5-year lease. That's terrifying.
Absolutely.
And now, you know, those things don't feel like that anymore. But when you keep pushing yourself and if you're going to take the risk to put something out there based on, you know, one, because there's a need in your area, you see yourself filling some sort of gap that's not being filled, or because you're just really excited about something and you think like, hey, maybe this could be a good idea. You might think it's a great idea, but the reality is like, it could suck. You might be the only one who's pumped about that. And sure. So putting yourself out there and then, you know, also the financial risk that comes with putting an event on, you know, you're on the hook for a certain amount of money. And so it is really scary to, if you're holding a retreat, if you're holding a conference or an event or something like that. And it's scary because it's new. For all of those different reasons, it's really easy to start getting into like the nitty gritty of, well, should I do it like this? And what do you guys think of this copy? And how do I do this? And all of these things. And I think, you know, you're totally right. And I would say for listeners to really pay attention to like get feedback, but don't lose what your vision is. And remember that ultimately this is your thing. And so you want to be able to say like, whether it sucked or it was great, this was what I wanted and I'll go into it and I'll learn and I'll figure things out and stuff next time. You're not supposed to get it all right on the first time. Anyway, but not getting so caught up in everyone else's opinions, because it's easy for that to kind of take you off track too.
And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Alma. When I first decided to go in network with insurance, I found the whole process overwhelming. I can actually remember a couple of days that made me want to cry, where I spent hours on the phone being transferred or hung up on or not given clear answers or instructions. I knew I needed to get paid, and I also knew that I didn't know if I could do this by myself. If you're running into those same challenges, Alma can help. They made it easy to get credentialed a lot faster, handled all of the paperwork, and offered way better rates than I could have gotten on my own. They also make sure I get reimbursed within 2 weeks of every session so that I know when I'm getting paid. Visit helloalma.com/ATPP to learn more. That's hello, A-L-M-A. .com/ATPP. Hey everyone, it's Patrick with All Things Private Practice, and I just want to invite you to join us in Scotland for our second Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit. That's happening July 14th to the 17th of 2025. We have 12 amazing speakers, 12 MBC CEs available in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The link is in my show notes and on my website at allthingspractice.com. You can also join us in Greece in September if you're a leader or wanting to start a group practice. We have a leadership retreat happening on the island of Crete from September 6th to the 11th. Honestly, one of the most beautiful villages I've ever been to in Chania. And then in 2026,
We have limited spots available in two different New Zealand retreats. One is for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, March 1st to the 8th of 2026. And then beyond private practice, moving beyond one-on-one therapy, creating alternative streams of income. That's March 15th to the 22nd, 2026 in Queenstown, New Zealand. Check the links. Got yourself. Do it anyway.
100%. And like any feedback I could have given aside from just support would have been like influential in some ways, you know, like if I was really like, this idea is terrible, Shailene, like nobody is going to sign up for this. That would have really altered maybe how you felt about that.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to know the kind of feedback you're asking for. And again, to stay like pretty anchored into what your vision is and try to combine the two. And in reality, I think you were like, do you think I could really sell these spots? And I was like, I absolutely do think you can sell these spots. And then now in the group chat that we have going on, you're like, I'm adding 35 more spots or however many was. And then you sell those too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a crazy thing. But at the same time, I think of this, and you know, I've talked about this at different events that we've done together because they're often very entrepreneurial focused. If you see somebody go out there and do the thing that you were thinking of, you're going to be pissed that you didn't go and, you know, try and do the thing. I'm sure I'm not the first person to have a clinical conference at Disney. I'm sure it happened somewhere before.
Right.
And who, that's not really like super important, but I think that that's one of the things that people really chew on a lot, and they get stuck in freeze mode of not doing anything. It's like, well, you know, will anybody come? And I think that was our first podcast actually now. It's like, do I have anything meaningful to say? Do I have anything different to offer?
Yep.
Yeah. But there's something about different thing is you, the different thing is how you're putting it together. The different thing is the event that you're curating. And now that it's, you know, we talk a lot about like building the plane as we fly it, but like now that I've been flying for a little bit, the event hasn't happened yet, but I have a much clearer vision and what the end product is going to look like, and not being as afraid of making changes and things like that. It's easier to kind of settle into, okay, now I can like really have fun. Like, how do I want to make things different? Because despite it being a clinical conference, it's happening in Disney World. So how do I want to take things that I really love about Disney World and kind of like infuse that into everything from the talks to like, you know, how the tables are set up and just like so many things all the way in between. And that's going to be really exciting and fun. And I'm really excited to share that with other people who have never been to Disney. Like that's probably my most favorite part, is like people who have never been to Disney are coming to this, and I get to take the little parts of Disney that really are exciting and fun for me and sprinkle that into this entire event. And that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah. I think when we are doing anything fueled by our passion, it's going to show up differently than, let's say, if someone else has done an event there. What are you calling it?
Clinically Ever After.
That's right. Clinically Ever After. So, great name, obviously. All the talk names and title names are fantastic. It's not like we're promoting this event on here because it's sold out, which is great for you. But the reality is you did put your own spin on it. You put your own like sense of humor and your personality into everything. And that's going to be very different than, let's say, if someone else had a three-day EMDR intensive at Disney or whatever, which sounds, by the way.
It sounds rough.
That sounds like a rough 3 days. A lot of processing to do. But I think that's important because so often, right, and myself included, yourself included, and so many people listening to this are going to be like, well, I have an idea for a retreat or a conference or a coaching program or a course or whatever business idea. And you're going to say to yourself, but so-and-so already does it. And it looks like they do it really well, or they're really successful, or they have a large audience. While, why the hell would anyone hire me? And this is circling back to our first conversation of, do I really have anything meaningful to say? And it really is putting your own personality and your own take and your own perspective, because how many of these ideas that exist out in the world are really that unique? And in reality, it's like they're just different versions and iterations of perspective and experience and personality. And I think that's what sets people apart. And really the reality is like, whether you're either going to say, I'm going to pursue it or I'm not. And that's the differentiation in the factor of like, Are you actually going to try to put this into the world or convince yourself that there's a million reasons why it won't work or won't be successful?
Yeah, and there's multiple truths. I mean, I think like since, you know, 2021 and when you started your retreat, I don't necessarily think it's like one cause the other, but there's so many right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing retreats. Everyone's, you know, putting on events and things like that.
Yep.
And so I do see, I can only imagine, like, because I can see some people on the hustle of posting the same post all the time. We have eight spots for this thing and wherever this place and all of that. And I feel for them because I know that grind, like know that grind, like the stress of selling spots. And so I think like on the one hand, it's like, okay, don't just sit on an idea and not execute because somebody else has it. And at the same time, that's important. Like this is important market research to consider. Like how many retreats are happening in Costa Rica right now? Probably a couple.
Yep.
As opposed to, right? So like when I think of like, well, I don't know of any. I don't know one person who's doing something like this. Okay. And then I think like those checks and balances can kind of get you closer on the spectrum of making the decision. I think the other thing is like thinking about myself at different phases of thinking like it has to be this big event or nothing at all.
Yeah.
A good example, I was thinking about this today. So I was a little late, yes, because I went on a 4-mile hike with my 5-year-old, which ended up being okay.
He's a 6-year-old now.
He's 6. You're right. Look at you. You're so good. So we took him on this hike. Didn't realize it was going to be 4 hours. It took, I mean, four miles. Took him a long time, not 4 hours. But anyway, so really into like trying to find local hikes and stuff like that. He's into it, so it makes it easy. But some of this is coming off. I went to a week-long somatic healing in nature retreat, right? So this is like my thing now, is I want to be outside and I want to take other people outside. I don't want to go camping, but I want to be on trails and all this other stuff. And so I have these thoughts when I'm there. And it's kind of annoying me because I'm trying to like chill out in the woods and stuff. And I'm like, how can I monetize this? What am I going to do, a retreat? What am I, you know, all of this stuff. And so I'm thinking about that and I'm letting it simmer. And instead of like, hey, everyone, I'm going to do a 1-week retreat in nature and here's what it's going to look like, I'm like, who wants to come outside for like 90 minutes and just, we'll do like a hair of the amount of work that I would do on a full retreat. Like there's a whole spectrum. There's a whole menu to get from doing nothing to having that big thing, like whatever that idea looks like. And for some people that could look like just, you know, like applying to speak at these events or signing up to go to the event. Like that might be the one notch forward on getting you to a place where you're feeling more confident. Because even if you only sign up or even if you only talk to people about it, you're growing your little network.
Yep.
To help, you know, kind of move further along on that path.
Yeah. And it's also like growing new pathways in the brain and like, you're comfortable thinking about it, saying it, having conversations about it. All of those things are crucial. And you're right. I'm just laughing because I'm just thinking of you coming home from this event and poor Chris. Like, Chris, if you're out there.
Chris signed us up for this 4-mile walk today. Okay. We did great.
Okay. Well, for you, Chris.
I feel like probably good for any neurotypical partner who's married to like a neurodivergent person. It's like, guess what I'm into this week?
Yep. Yep. Yes, 100%. I agree with that. And I agree with what you're saying. Like, and for those of you listening, like I was in the position too, as we all have been, who have created anything in our lives, where we had to start somewhere, whether it was the idea. Maybe you didn't even have an idea formed whatsoever. You just had a desire to do things differently, or you were like, I'm bored of what I'm doing, or I don't think I can do this forever. Whatever the thought is, that led to some sort of action. That might have meant you went to a summit or a conference or a retreat. That might have meant you joined a coaching program or a workshop or a mastermind. Like there's so many ways for that like inkling of an idea to start to grow. And the more you surround yourself with people who are doing things, it's like, oh, there are possibilities here. Because I think for a lot of therapists still to this day, if you don't have supportive circles or you don't see other people doing things outside of one-on-one therapy,
really
easy. Yeah, it's hard to yourself, break out of that.
That's all there is in this path. And
yeah,
you know, for me, I could never do the same thing for the rest of my life. And I envy some of you who can, because I'm like, sometimes that feels like a hell of a lot more of a relief or satisfying or less stressful to not ebb and flow through the creative process of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, for sure. And I see that in my staff. I wonder, you probably see it in your staff too, of like working with them and trying to help them achieve goals or do things outside of one-to-one therapy. And it just doesn't occur to everybody. Like, it really doesn't. And again, I think like for me over the past 4 years, my network has grown a ton. And that's because I put myself out there a lot and put myself in situation, you know, all of these different things. And I mean, I think of like the people who come to a lot of the events that you've done that I've been a part of, like, that's a risk, you know, it's a risk going to another country. Many people go and they don't know anybody. So it's like, but all of those are still moving the tick forward without having to jump all the way in and then be like, holy shit, like, absolutely, now I'm on the hook for this. And this was terrifying.
You might come to an event, whether it's mine, whether it's yours, someone else's, and that idea might like percolate for years. You might just have a small snippet of an idea and then sit on it for however long because of circumstance or life or situations that arise. And I think it's important, like, not to say that there has to be a linear process to any of this. And there doesn't have to be like a time frame for any of this.
Yeah.
But I do think when you are able to, and I'm just going to try to transition us and wrap us up in the best way possible of circling back to saying, like, if you do find ways to marry your special interests or your passions with your career, and that's something that you want to be doing, it is really special. And not to take it for granted along the way, because, you know, creativity can sometimes be hard to find and access. And I think it's important to just ride the wave while you can and pursue it while you do have the energy, for those of us who have energy spikes and capacity limitations. So doing it while you can, while you feel enthusiastic, while you feel excited, I think that's a huge part of this too. So thanks again for coming on and being my mentor / guru in your words and eyes.
You're welcome.
And good friend since we met 3-4 years ago on a podcast. Have had a lot of cool experiences and adventures together, you know, and it's been a really enjoyable portion of my life. So I really appreciate that. But with everyone listening, where can they find what you're doing and what you're offering?
Yeah. So on social media, mostly on Instagram and TikTok, Rebelmente_Shailene on TikTok. If you go over to my website, you'll see everything that's Disney related. And for anybody who this sparks interest to, or you feel like that could be a fun CE, we do have an online event coming up, Clinically Ever After, the online chapter. Some really, really cool topics. Sabrina's going to be on there, Patrick, one of your staff. So I'm really excited about all of the different topics and the Disney spin. So it'll be a fun way to get CEs online. It's a pretty low ticket item. You can go to rebelmente.com/Disney online and I'll send that to you. Or you can put it in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah, we'll have that in the show notes for Shailene and for all of you for easy access. So make sure you're checking that out. And thanks again for coming on and making the time, even though you were late.
This is what Patrick's like behind the scenes, everybody. It's actually worse behind the scenes. You guys, if you think like, oh, Patrick, he's so friendly. I mean, maybe you don't.
I've ever presented it that way in my life. Like, supportive and welcoming and maybe like really able to help navigate some of those things. But I would not use the word friendly. But nevertheless.
Right. You're right. There's a part of you. It's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on it in our mentorship. But yeah, thank you for having me. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Hope it was helpful.
Yeah, hope it was helpful too. And if you want some of Shailene's mentorship, we'll put that in the show notes as well.
I don't do that. We're messing around, by the way. Please don't message me for that.
All right. To everyone listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast, episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. Like, download, subscribe, share, doubt yourself, do it anyway. We'll see you next week.